Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on beautiful children's Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
Today I am keeping another promise to the American people by nominating Judge Neil Gorsuch of the United States Supreme Court to be of the United States Supreme Court.
It's President Donald Trump announcing his choice for the Supreme Court, Judge Neil Gorsuch. It was anticipated, of course, because he was elected with a vacancy on the court that left by the recently deceased Antonin Scalia. So is this a one-for-one replacement? It's obviously a wash when it comes to the complexion of the court. But what should we know about President Trump's first nominee to the Supreme Court? Joining us to answer that question, Dr. Robert George. He's a regular guest. He's professor of jurisprudence at Princeton University and visiting professor at Harvard University Law School. He's authored several books, including Clash of Orthodoxies, Law, Religion, and Morality in Crisis, and In Defense of Natural Law, and a column for The Washington Post titled, Ignore the Attacks on Neil Gorsuch. He's an intellectual giant and a good man. Dr. George, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's my pleasure, Todd. Thanks for having me back.
Is Neil Gorsuch a fitting replacement for Antonin Scalia?
I was not myself a supporter of President Trump, but President Trump has delivered on his promise to give us a Supreme Court justice in the mold of Justice Scalia, someone who is at the highest level intellectually, someone with experience, with a proper temperament to be a Supreme Court justice, somebody with an established record for impartiality and fairness, somebody who is not dogmatic, but who is a textualist and an originalist, someone who is guided by the text of the Constitution, someone who neither reads rights into the Constitution nor ignores rights that are in the Constitution or reads them out of the Constitution. So the answer to your question is straightforward. It's yes. President Trump has given us a very, very worthy successor to Justice Scalia.
What is the most important, in your way of thinking, most important qualification to sit on the Supreme Court, and how does Neil Gorsuch measure up in that qualification?
Well, there's no single qualification that you can pick out, place above the others. All of them are essential. A Supreme Court justice has to be a person of high intellect. There are challenging, intellectually challenging issues that come before the court. For them to be handled properly, a person has to have the intellectual powers to analyze things carefully, to explore the competing arguments properly, to deeply understand the implications of a decision one way or another. So intellect is important. And of course, that's supported by education. Even a person with a fine intellect, someone with a high IQ who is not well educated in a subject matter or profession is not going to do very well at it. And then there's the issue of temperament. There's the question of integrity. There's the question of experience. You don't want to start out at the highest level, at the Supreme Court level. You need to be grounded in some experience. And Judge Gorsuch has that experience, just as he has integrity and impartiality and the proper judicial temperament and, of course, intellect and a superb education.
Is there any indication he, as a justice, if confirmed, will likely be hearing cases along with the other justices dealing with the issues of the day, among them things like religious freedom? Do we have any idea what his mind is on such issues?
His record on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 10th Circuit, the 10th Circuit is Rocky Mountain West, his record on religious freedom is excellent. He interprets the Constitution and the laws honestly, faithfully, in a way that protects religious freedom, because that's what the laws were intended to do. That's what the First Amendment of the Constitution was intended to do. So there we do know something about how he's likely to rule in future cases, and we know it based on how he's ruled as a justice on the Court of Appeals. Now, There is one important difference between being a circuit court of appeals judge and being a Supreme Court justice. The U.S. Court of Appeals judges are bound by the precedents established by the Supreme Court. Obviously, the Supreme Court justices are not. If a current court doesn't like what a previous Supreme Court has done, they're not bound by it. They can overrule or overturn precedent. But in the religious freedom area, I have absolutely no reason to believe that Judge Gorsuch will overturn the Supreme Court's understanding of the Constitution in cases like the Hobby Lobby decision, Little Sisters of the Poor decision, and other key religious freedom cases.
What about the protection of life from beginning to end?
Well, he has not ruled on an abortion-related case, so he doesn't have a record there the way he has a record when it comes to religious freedom. However, we do know that he is an originalist and a textualist in his approach to interpreting the Constitution and the laws. That means that we can predict that his rulings will be very much like the other great originalist and textualist, that is his predecessor, Justice Scalia. And, of course, Justice Scalia consistently supported the overturning of Roe versus Wade, not because that decision fails to be pro-life, although it does fail to be pro-life, but because there is nothing in the text or logic or structure or original understanding of the Constitution to support the imposition of an abortion license on the entire United States. The Constitution does not speak to the issue. The Supreme Court in 1973 in Roe versus Wade simply manufactured a right to abortion out of whole cloth. Justice Scalia rightly said that there's no basis for it in the text or original understanding of the Constitution, and that's why he wanted it to be overturned. And I think it's pretty clear that Justice Gorsuch, if it becomes Justice Gorsuch, and I hope he will, no indication that he would see the issue any differently. Now, as far as his own substantive views about life, we do know something about his views about life at the other end. He's written a book, an excellent, deeply scholarly book on euthanasia and assisted suicide. Now, just as it happened, coincidentally, I was the general editor for that book. It was published in the series of which I'm editor for Princeton University Press. So I had the opportunity to work with Judge Gorsuch in bringing that that book into print. And there in that book, he does defend the proposition that life has intrinsic and inherent value. Human life has inherent value and not merely instrumental value. Our value as human beings does not depend on how useful we are to society or how strong we are or how intelligent we are or how valuable we are for other people's purposes. Rather, life has its value in itself. It's not a means to something else. It is the end to which other things are means. And on this basis, he has opposed the liberalization of assisted suicide or moving in the direction of euthanasia. Those were his policy prescriptions. Now, when it comes to the question of whether there's a constitutional right to assisted suicide or euthanasia, when the Supreme Court tackled that issue back in 1997, all nine justices, even the liberals on the court, reached the same decision, and that is the Constitution does not create a right to assisted suicide or so-called voluntary euthanasia. And I suspect very strongly that Justice Gorsuch would be part of that consensus and hold that certainly the Constitution ought not to be interpreted as instituting assisted suicide.
You mentioned a ruling on the HHS contraception mandate. What did Gorsuch write about in that case?
Well, he was handling it at the Court of Appeals level, of course, before going to the Supreme Court of the United States, but ruling based on precedents established by the Supreme Court, and I think a sense of how the Supreme Court was likely to rule on the case. And he upheld a broad right to religious freedom, which imposed upon the government the obligation to refrain from imposing something on a religious person against his or her conscience or a religious group against their conscience unless stringent standards could be met, unless the government could show that the imposition was required in order to advance a truly compelling interest, not just a legitimate government interest, but a necessary, a highly important governmental interest that could not be advanced in some other way. He was absolutely right about that, and I think what it shows is that he's a person who does understand that our Constitution and laws were designed to give a broad protection to religious freedom.
Dr. Robert George, professor of jurisprudence at Princeton University, is our guest. Talk about President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Neil Gorsuch. More on the other side of the break.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
What are some of the myths of gospel reductionism? I've written part two of an article titled Better Than Good, Failed Attempts to Improve on the Gospel in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Joy Pullman of The Federalist writes about her journey from charismatic experientialism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Neil Gorsuch. Dr. Robert George of Princeton University and Harvard University Law School is our guest. He has written a column for the Washington Post titled Ignore the Attacks on Neil Gorsuch. He's an intellectual giant and a good man. Dr. George, there is another op-ed piece in the Washington Post, this one by Radley Balco. It's called In Gorsuch, Trump Gave Democrats a Gift, They Should Take It. And part of his argument there is that Gorsuch has a track record of not being a big fan of executive power or overreach. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, there's some truth in that. One of the things Judge Gorsuch is notable for in his jurisprudence is that he believes that power given to the legislature under our Constitution, that is to the Congress, has been usurped by the executive branch. And the administrative agencies of the federal government are essentially exercising legislative power, which should be under the Constitution, in the hands of Congress. There's a complicated and somewhat technical analysis here that I'll spare your listeners. But what it boils down to is this. The judge believes that too many of the decisions that govern our lives and govern the operation of our businesses and other organizations are not being controlled by laws enacted by Congress, but rather by rules created by administrative agencies. And of course, the big difference is you and I vote for our representatives in Congress. We vote for our members of the House of Representatives or our member of the House of Representatives and our two senators. We don't vote for some bureaucrat in the bowels of the Health and Human Services Agency or the Department of Labor or the Department of Commerce or HUD. We don't know who those people are. We have no control over them. They are not accountable to us. And so it's possible that under Justice Gorsuch's influence, if indeed he's confirmed, and again, I hope he will be, it's possible that the court will move in the direction of looking more stringently, more closely, more skeptically at the way in which the federal government agencies have taken control of the governing in more and more areas of American life.
You're right, the good judges sometimes have to vote or rule in ways they do not like because that is what the law requires. What do you mean by that, Dr. George?
Let me illustrate it by way of an example, and an example taken from Justice Scalia himself. Justice Scalia was a great patriot, someone who truly believed in America and in American exceptionalism. And he honored our military, and he honored our flag. And yet, when faced with two cases, one involving a state statute and then later one involving a federal statute, two cases in which the question was, is burning the flag as a political statement protected speech under the First Amendment such that laws forbidding flag desecration were unconstitutional? Justice Scalia ruled that, in fact, flag burning is protected speech and that, therefore, those statutes are unconstitutional. Now, I knew Antonin Scalia very, very well, but you didn't have to know him too well in order to know that this man thought that people who burned the flag were rascals. They were scoundrels. They were engaged in despicable activity, that our flag stands for a nation that stands for freedom, and that it's base and gross to burn the flag. He didn't mind criticism of policy, but he did mind running down the flag under which men had fought and died, fighting Nazism and other great atrocities. And yet, he ruled that flag burning, even though he didn't like it, was constitutionally protected, and therefore people could not be punished for doing it. That's exactly what I have in mind and what Judge Gorsuch has in mind when he said, and I paraphrased him as saying, that sometimes a judge, if he's a good judge, has to rule in a way he doesn't like because that's what the law says. And his oath is to uphold the law.
Two final questions, Dr. George. You called Gorsuch an intellectual giant and a good man. How so?
Well, his learning and his intellect place him in the top ranks of American jurists. There just can be no question about that. He's a graduate of Columbia University, Harvard Law School, was a Truman Scholar, was a Marshall Scholar, two of the most prestigious scholarships in American higher education. He went to Oxford, where he earned his doctorate under the great philosopher of law and natural law theorist John Finnis. He has written a very important scholarly book that I already mentioned, which is not a common thing for a judge to do. His opinions reveal a kind of depth of understanding and of analytical power that is quite rare for judges or anyone else. That's what I mean when I say that the man is an intellectual superstar. You just don't get judges or others at higher levels intellectually or in terms of educational attainment than Neil Gorsuch. And by a good man, I mean this. He's a man of probity, an upright man. He's a man who is a faithful husband. He's a good father, a generous neighbor, someone who is kind, someone who's solicitous of others. There's no vanity in the man. There's no pride in him. He's public-spirited. He believes in working for the common good. He's just a plain, old-fashioned good man. I also made the point that he'll bring religious diversity to the court. As it happens at the moment, of course, this is not the case historically, but it is the case now. You don't have a single Protestant on the court. You have six Catholics and three Jews. Well, we had six Catholics until Justice Scalia died. Now you'll have a Protestant. Judge Gorsuch is an Episcopalian. So people these days want diversity. He'll give you diversity.
Finally, have you ever wondered, kind of generally speaking, how much different our country might be had Ronald Reagan's first pick, Robert Bork, been able to serve on the Supreme Court instead of Reagan's third pick, Anthony Kennedy?
It would be a different world. Roe versus Wade would have been reversed in 1989. You would never have gotten the imposition of same-sex marriage. The court would have taken a completely different direction. Judge Bork, like Justice Scalia, like Judge Gorsuch, was a textualist and an originalist. He believed in interpreting the Constitution according to its actual words, understood in their historical context. He did not believe in imposing on the nation his own or anybody else's particular values under the pretext of effectuating constitutional guarantees. Justice Kennedy did not take that view. Justice Kennedy has freely engaged in liberal judicial activism. Even though he was a Reagan appointee, he has voted to uphold Roe versus Wade and the abortion license. He has been the foremost justice in advancing sexual liberation. He wrote the opinion imposing same-sex marriage on the entire nation, whether states wanted it or not. So we got a very, very different kind of justice as a result of the campaign of vilification, the smear campaign that was waged by the Democrats against Robert Bork, who was another intellectual giant and good man. Let me say one last thing to your listeners about this thought. You're going to hear a lot of Democrats these days saying, well, even if Gorsuch is brilliant and even if Gorsuch is a fine man, he shouldn't get the seat because the seat was stolen. The Republicans in the Senate denied President Obama his choice of Merrick Garland, who was a liberal Democrat, but also a fine man, a well-educated, brilliant jurist. Well, before we fall for that argument, we should make the point that, well, if you count that as stealing, then how do we characterize what the Democrats did when they denied a seat to Robert Bork, thus enabling them to achieve their goals of imposing abortion and judicial and same-sex marriage on the entire nation? That campaign of lying, of vilification, of smearing, is what stopped this fine man, this intellectual giant, Robert Bork, from going on to the court. So before they start throwing stones in an effort to deny Neil Gorsuch his seat, they should think back to their own misconduct back in 1987 in defeating Robert Bork.
Dr. Robert George is professor of jurisprudence at Princeton University and visiting professor at Harvard University Law School. He's author of several books, including Clash of Orthodoxies, Law, Religion, and Morality in Crisis, and In Defense of Natural Law, and a column for the Washington Post titled Ignore the Attacks on Neil Gorsuch. He's an intellectual giant and a good man. You can read it and purchase Dr. George's books at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. George, thanks.
Thank you, Doc.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk about the future of progressivism. Pastor Peter Burfein will be our guest. He's author of that book, Gnostic America, A Reading of Contemporary American Culture and Religion, According to Christianity's Oldest Heresy. And he's also written a column for The Federalist titled, Why the Left Will Never Stop Despairing Over Trump. The future of progressivism, tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is. 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.